This battle is not yours. This fight is not even yours. Sometimes life throws us some real punches. Pastor Wood, I know that to be so. There's not a soul here today and in this airwaves that hasn't received its share of blows from the orders, the rulings, the closings, and suggestions being given out by our governmental officials over the COVID-19. But just as we duck to dodge one punch, another comes to take its place. One thing we can be sure of is that there are more blows yet to come. Hallelujah, somebody. Our losses have been real, no matter what our ages. Young and old athletes didn't get to play this season when they had been looking forward to it all year. High school track records that were going to be set will never enter the record books by the people who would have set them. The loss of your high school senior's year is a tremendous blow for many of our students. There were scheduled proms that will never happen. Valedictorians, MVPs, and the like will never be named. The graduations that bring us together as a family tradition won't be here this year. Birthday celebrations have been canceled. Weddings have been canceled. After all those hours of planning and scheduling and spending money, even funerals are being told to be put on hold. Jobs that we thought were secure have been snatched out from under us. Surely we thought if we had our own businesses, we could determine our economic future. We thought if we get sick, we could go to the doctors or to the hospital. We were certain that our church would always be open, but many are closed. These are just the tip of the iceberg of the many problems staring us in the face. Some of us have no idea how we will pay our bills when we are looking at our last paycheck this coming week. So whether we know it or not, there is an emotional pain and frustration building up on the inside of us. We can't have loss and after loss and not be hurting. We can't even plan our lives 2 weeks out, because for the first time in our lives, we are realizing we really are not even in control of our own lives. And at a time when we probably need to hug each other, to cry the most, we are told to practice social distancing. And this can lead us down a path of despair, or fear. But I want to challenge us this morning. Instead of focusing on what we have lost, we need to see what it is we have left that God can still use on our behalf. When we engage with fear and worry and frustrations and hurts, we begin fighting a fight we aren't designed for. I need to say that again. See, many of us have been feeling tired and overwhelmed simply by engaging in battles they never had the grace for. This battle was never intended for you to fight on the ground. This is not your fight. When we look at the Word of God, we discover that no race or nationality has an exclusive claim on God. And even though God called Israel out of Egypt to take them into the promised land, that did not necessarily place God on their side. Come on, somebody. You see, God loved the people in the land of Canaan. He had given them 430 years to change their ways, but they would not listen. And therefore, God brought the people out of Israel to inflict judgment on them in the same way he later used the Babylonians to bring judgment on Israel. And so in our text this day, Joshua's feeling real good about being number one when they crossed into the promised land. They had to cross over the Jordan River, which was in its flood stage, so it was like the mighty Mississippi River. God told Joshua, let the priests lead the way. And as soon as a priest touched the water flowing downstream will stop flowing and stand up in a heap. The priest stepped in, the water stopped flowing. All the people crossed over on dry ground while the priest stood in the middle of the river. Nothing had been seen like this since the parting of the Red Sea under Moses. And after the people crossed over, the priest crossed to the other side. And immediately the waters returned to its position. What are you saying, Reverend Hagin? The scripture states that on that day, The Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all the people, and they held him in high honor and respect all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Now Joshua was feeling real good that day. I can use in my sanctified mind, he was saying, hey, who's number one? And all the people probably shouted back, we are. Now, when Joshua got near to Jericho, which they would have to take in a battle, he saw a man standing in front of him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua, you know, has got the war thing down pat. Some of you got the war thing down pat. You think you got it. We don't have to motivate you to speak your mind. You'll fight in a minute and find out what the war was about later. Some way he later used the Babylonians to bring the judgment on Israel. But what we're finding in our text that he thinks he's got it made. That Joshua would fight at the drop of a hat. A bounty hunter. Joshua is getting ready to take on the battle of his life. And he has all of the tenseness that comes from being in a series of battles. But the problem is when he looks up, he sees a man standing by him. And he said, I saw a man standing by me. And he ran out and asked the man, are you with me or are you against me? Come on, somebody. First of all, it wasn't a man. It was God. And yet we have a problem of becoming so practical that we don't even recognize God in the middle of our situation. To not discern God is a big mistake that Joshua was about to make here. Because he thinks he is just running into a man and he's running into God. And my friends, we are in a battle right now. There are some blows that the virus has thrown, but they have not put a dent or taken away what God says about us. God's word declare, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but God has given you mercy. And my friends, who we are based on our relationship to Jesus Christ, the decrees related to the coronavirus, doesn't stop us from being a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And even if the next decree is to stop worship services, that still does not change who we are in God. It still does not dismantle the church, because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We simply have to rethink how we do worship. There were no church buildings for the first 250 years of the church existence, but they were faithful in worshiping God. We still have the same job to declare the praise of God who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. When Jesus called us to come and follow him, Jesus never said his goal was to make us rich and to give us something we wanted as a sign of his appreciation for us joining his team. What Jesus promised was an opportunity to know God the Father as Jesus knew him. See, Jesus knew the Father as faithful, as trustworthy, as dependable, and was able to take care of him even in the face of death. And that is why Jesus' dying words were, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What is that you need to commit into the hands of God who calls you his beloved child today? Jesus told us up front that following him was not going to be an easy task. Thank you, God. As a matter of fact, he told us our peace is going to have to be found in him. Because in this world, we will have trials, troubles, and tribulations. Nobody gets an exempt. You don't get a pass here. Come on. If you live long enough, you will suffer either because of the sins of others or because of your own sins. We make our plans in an attempt to create a safe space for us, Pastor. And there's nothing wrong with planning for the future, as long as you know that a plan is subject to change with our and without our approval. We tend to plan with a false sense of security. See, when you go into new experiences, you have a tendency to be afraid. And because you are looking for God to show up like he did yesterday, and when mom and daddy was in church, come on, somebody. When God says, I'm going to do a new thing in you, that means I'm going to show up in a new way, and you got to be ready to receive me as I take you into this new era. Joshua runs up, ready to fight. He's aggressive. He ran up on the Lord and says, are you with me or are you against me? And Joshua is so aggressive that he's asking God, are you on my side or on the side of the enemy? Come on, somebody. In other words, he said, look, if you want to be with me, you got to choose a side. And we live in a world that's forever trying to get God to choose a side. And trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Folk want God to take a side. Are you with me? Are you with my adversaries? Take a side, God. God, are you Democratic? Are you a Republican? Are you independent? Take a side. God, are you Methodist or Baptist? Just take a side. We are always wanting God to take a side. And Joshua said, are you on my side? Are you on my enemy's side? Are you with our church? Or are you with the church down the street? Are you for me or are you against me? And the Lord said, neither. I'm not for you and I'm not for your enemies. It's not about me being with you. It's about you being with me. Okay, so it's not about how you can get God to support your agenda. It's about you getting on your knees and finding out what is God's agenda. And seeing how you can support what God is doing. Even in this time of trial, the issue is not so much the coronavirus crisis of today, but rather are we open to being aware of the presence of God with us in it? We know that our lives are not simply about us, but about what God is doing in and through us. Our problem comes in wanting God to remodel our lives. But God is saying no. No. God is going to rebuild our lives. And that may mean going all the way back down to the foundation and making sure it's laid properly. That means demolishing a whole lot of stuff that's built up on the inside of us. Are you open to being rebuilt today? See, Lord help me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But let's go back quickly back to the book of Exodus and I'll be finished. This is for somebody. And I don't know who it is. Here's my issue. Joshua's down there fighting, and he's winning, but he doesn't know that he's winning. And this is in Exodus 17, because Moses is up on the hill holding up his hands. See, some of y'all think you're winning because you think you're such a good fighter, but you are not winning because you're a good fighter. You're winning because somebody was in a secret closet praying for you, causing you to prevail over your enemies. Oh, my God. And you are running around with your sword in your hand, talking tough. Like it's me, oh, Lord. It's only me. It's not about your works alone. Lest any man boast. And it's about balance. It's a balance between the sacred and the secular that is so important. Between faith and works. Between option and consecration. Finding that balance is a critical thing. And Joshua doesn't even know what Moses was doing to help him. And so Joshua goes out in his own strength to do his own thing. And he's ready to fight. Amen. And when you get like this, you fight away folk who love you. You fight away folk that God sent to help you. You're fighting with people who cares enough about you to confront your hateful self and tell you who you really are and how you're fighting them. And it didn't shape your present. It just shaped how you see it. And you're fighting them and you're fighting others who are there to help you and to lead you the way. And how do I know this? Because, see, sometimes we are prejudiced. We prejudge dispositions. And now God has brought you to a place where he's demanding that you trust him. Come on, somebody. That you can't just assign God a post in your army and using him for your agenda. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the first thing is this fight is not your fight. The thing you are up against right now, it's not about you. Can you tell your neighbor it's not about us? Now, the battle is not yours. It belongs to God. That doesn't mean you have to fight. Before you go against Jericho, Joshua, you must have an encounter with God. Not the traditional religious God of your fathers, but a fresh vision of a contemporary, revolutionary understanding of who God is. And I believe today that God is recommissioning his church, that you understand who he is and not so much about what you are doing. We're in a battle right now because the world is trying to hold us to a traditional mentality about God. And they want to keep it a traditional people with a traditional God. And they want to keep it traditional with a traditional atmosphere. And they want to stay just the way things used to be. Well, it's time for a radical change. To get God out of the box and out of narrow thinking into a contemporary understanding of who God is. God may be the same, but his methods change and his mannerism change. And Joshua was standing there having an encounter with God. And so often coming out of the crisis, we underestimate what we still have left. You may have to start all over again. You may have to lose your home. You may have to let go of something or someone. But if you still have the presence of God, you're no poorer than you were before. There is still hope on the other side. It might be painful to get there, but you will get there. Online church is a different way to do church. But if we are faithful, God will get us to where he's calling us to be. Now hear me this day, if you're watching this morning, and if you're going to understand that the battle that you're fighting right now, tomorrow requires that you spend some time up in the presence of God, being directed, motivated, and filled, and charged with the mind of God of how to get the victory on tomorrow. This battle will not be fought on the ground. This is not a ground warfare. Come on, somebody. This battle is taking place in the spirit realm. The heavens suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, you can't fight the enemy with the same weapons he's using. I need to say that again. See, the word says, who shall ascend unto the hills of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Take off your shoes, Moses. Take off your shoes, Joshua. Take off your shoes, church. You are on holy ground. Tell somebody next to you, I had to tune in this morning. I will never see the walls of Jericho come down until I have an experience with God. I would never see my credit go down, my debt come down, my tumors come down, cancer dry up, high blood pressure become normal, kidneys begin to operate as they were created to function. I will never see my crisis come down unless I have an encounter with God. I didn't tune in to have an experience with ushers. I didn't encounter with deacons. With all due respect, you didn't come here to have an encounter with Mary Hagee or Nathaniel J. Wood. You tuned in this morning to have an encounter with God. Speak to my heart, Jesus. I need a word from you. I needed this word. I needed this moment. My spirit needed it. My flesh didn't want to come, but my spirit needed this encounter with God. And that is why I can worship him and I can praise him without phones ringing, without emails, without turning on CNN. I need this moment of consecration with the Lord, surrounded by folk who can say hallelujah, praise the Lord. And so as we get ready to get closer, can you see holy ground on a battlefield? Do you understand what you're dealing with right now? We're having to struggle with this crisis in our own personal way, but we are not alone. We are still the body of Christ with brothers and sisters willing to love us and to care for us. This crisis, this disappointment, this loss that you suffered does not mean God dropped the ball on you. And oftentimes when we are faced with a difficult situation, it requires us to take a step back. We don't always have the tools to navigate an emotional roller coaster. But with God, all things are possible. In order to be prepared to fight some things, we got to go through them. When life becomes bitter, we become better. If we quit blaming God, quit trying to isolate ourselves from other folk who really care, and finally get ready to embrace a new way of doing our worship, there will be glory after this. Come on, somebody. God's word will still have answers after this. What you may need to see is that God has been there all along, but you did not welcome his presence because it did not fit your plan. And so God wants to work something in you through this knockdown of a blow you've been given. Being knocked down is not the same as being knocked out. Having a plan fail is not the same as being a failure in life. Losing a lot does not mean there's nothing left. God loves you just as much on this side of your trial as he did on the other side of the trial. Jesus prays to the Father on our behalf every day. And the Holy Spirit is a comforter who will lead us and guide us. Saints of God, we are in our finest hour. How do you know? First of all, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive your sins, and heal the land. He may show up in a way that you've never seen before. Come on, somebody. He may do something that he's never done before. But he says, take off your shoes. Take off your preconceived ideas. Take off your own kind of mentality. And get ready to have a fresh experience. And I believe God is getting ready to send a revival and a fresh awakening like never before. Why? Because now we are at a point where we realize that we need Jesus. Come on, somebody. Every day, every hour, we need Jesus. And so we're right here in the middle of this fight. And this is holy ground. Take off your shoes. I'm going to have an encounter with God on these grounds. I'm going to learn something about myself in this situation. I'm going to learn something about life in this situation. I'm going to learn something about my faith in this crisis. And God has decided to make my sanctuary a situation. Some of my greatest moments of worship, Pastor, have not been in church, but they've been in a sick room. Come on, somebody. When a loved one is dead, amen. Somebody, when you got a Jericho that won't hear you, when you in the presence of somebody who wants to steal your joy and kill your peace. But let me tell you something. Tell somebody, say, this too will pass. I don't care how bad it was. This too will pass. The situation you're dealing with right now will come to pass. It shall come to pass. Get over it. Don't worry about it. Don't build a house in it. It will come to pass, and it will not last. You will be standing when Jericho is laying in total ruins. You'll be standing there telling your children and grandchildren, I remember the time I thought we were going to die, but in some kind of way, we made it out of that. This will come to pass. I don't know who I'm preaching to right now. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. But this will come to pass. This battle is not yours. As soon as you let go and let God have his way, it's going to be all right. Where does I get ready to take my seat? What we need today is a bailout. The government can't bail us out, Pastor. Wall Street can't bail us out. Congress can't bail us out. Stimulus checks, amen, somebody, and lifting the ban can't bail us out. Protesting and writing letters to senators can't bail us out. We thank God for the loans and the grants, but they can't bail us out. This is just a temporary fix. But let me tell you about another bailout. Can I help you this morning? As I get ready to take my seat, one day around the throne in glory, God told the angels to go through and fro and find somebody who would go God, man's bail. Searched all over. He couldn't find nobody. Justice had a gavel of time in his hand, and I heard justice say, the wages of sin is death. But I heard Jesus say, but the gift of God is eternal life. Father, if you fix me on body, I'll go man's bail. God put his son on heaven's elevator. He stepped out of eternity into time, come down through 42 generations. And the bottom floor, on the bottom floor, was a virgin named Mary, born in Bethlehem, reared in Nazareth, baptized in the Jordan, tempted in the wilderness, betrayed by one of his own. They led him up a mountain called Calvary, nailed him on a cross. He died. On a cross. Anybody know he died? He died when the sun refused to shine. He died when the earth rocked and reeled. He died for the graves opened up, vomiting out the dead. Come on, somebody. He died until there was a march down the parade of Jerusalem. He died for a Roman soldier who began to preach his homegoing celebration. And he used surely, surely, surely. This is a man of God, but I'm glad this is not how the story ends, because early, 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 one Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And I don't know about you, but though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, still that hope that lies within is reassured. As I keep my eyes upon the distant shore, I know he'll lead me safely so that blessed place he has prepared. But if the storms don't cease, and if the winds don't blow, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. My soul has been anchored in the Lord. This is not your fight. This is not your battle. Let God fight this fight.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.